Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hey there, listeners. Thanks so much for tuning in to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this Tuesday evening. I want to encourage you to share your pretty picture on the page and follow the show so that you can get updates for the show, for upcoming shows. This is a forum for folks who are interested in the intersection between depth psychology, right, that's connecting with archetypes, the deep stories that we're destined to tell in our lives, and sometimes when we're telling those stories, we tell them with less energy as they're less vital in our lives. So the more that we're able to connect with that deep unconscious part of ourselves and listen more deeply to our calling, listen to our intuition, listen to synchronicities in our waking life, the more we're able to tap into that authentic self. So if those are topics that interest you and excite you, you're definitely in the right place this evening. I want to let you know that on the 22nd of January, I will be having Claudette Tafelia on the show. Claudette is an intuitive tarot reader. She uses her intuition to connect with the cards. Some people just work with the cards in a straight kind of just allowing the card to dictate the story, but Claudette uses her intuition to connect on a deeper level. So I encourage you to check out her page, Psychic Ascension, on Facebook, and I'm looking forward to having her on the show next week. With no further ado, I want to introduce the guest this evening. Tonight I have Beth Jordan on the line. Beth Jordan has a wonderful website called Gentle Voice Solutions, and she works in some pretty unique ways from what I can see here. I'm excited to talk to her about those. I also encourage you to check out Beth's center called Key Empowerment off of High Street. And if you're interested in doing intuitive work yourself, that's a great place to go to workshops or host a workshop. So I'm excited to ask Beth about that journey as well. Beth, are you with me?
I am.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Oh, thanks so much for accepting the invitation to be on the show.
I am honored.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I spent a little time on your website. I was really delighted to see autobiography in 5 short chapters. That really spoke to me at one point in my life, and I'm sure it's spoken to a lot of people. And it's just a wonderful place to start to you know, gain awareness on the journey for yourself. So I just love that you have that there.
Yes, I think a really clever way of understanding the journey that we all go on if we're paying attention and if we want to pay attention.
Yes, absolutely. For folks who aren't familiar with this short piece, check out Portia Nelson on Google, and it'll come up. It's called Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters, and it's just kind of different stages of awareness that we all reach on the journey. So it's a great place to kind of see energetically where you're at and see what your journey has looked like, your own growth journey, which leads me to your growth journey, Beth. I know that some of this work is a little off the beaten path. It's a little different than what other people do. How did that story unfold for you? Did you kind of connect with your intuition and did it find you, or did you kind of find it and pursue it? How did that unfold for you?
Well, like most people, a little bit of both. I was in a career, kind of normal mainstream, well, it wasn't normal, but it was a mainstream kind of IT job. And as I was watching the company grow and was noticing what was going on, what I was noticing is that the company was starting to go in a direction that I wasn't in line with. and in tune with. And I'm thinking, you know, this is not going to be, you know, a career path that I'm going to, you know, stay in the rest of my life and, you know, all of that. So I said, you know, I need something else. I need something else. So I opened up to possibilities, and one of the possibilities that showed up for me was the idea of studying hypnosis and hypnotherapy. And that certainly called to me because I always, you know, loved helping people. And when I really delved into the depths of what that really meant, and it just felt like it was kind of that magic wand for people. Mm-hmm. And it is and it isn't. And so that's how I started. I started to really, I had already been on my path and into metaphysics. And, you know, it seems like I'd always done that all of my life and my intuition. But this was a way to formalize it in a bit. And I went ahead and started to study that, which led me then to NLP, which led me into some of the Bach flower remedies. And somewhere along the way, I discovered the voice stress equipment, which is actually a computer program that offers a frequency and a balancing. And the whole thing, what underlines everything about my journey and about my work, is how to help people help themselves rediscover the things that already are in them and how to bring those out for them. So I'm kind of a guide.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's so wonderful that you were in a place where you were willing to listen to the fact that the journey that you were taking, you know, with the corporate job, and that wasn't the right fit for you. I think so many people get that knock, you know, and they're not able for some reason to listen to it, you know, and that some of our journeys is about getting the courage and the strength to listen to that deeper calling, which is, of course, the way that we change the world when we listen to our intuition deeply. So I think that's just so wonderful that you were able to hear it, you were able to take the steps that you needed to in order to be able to serve people.
Oh, thank you. And it did. And I want to also say that that wasn't an overnight thing. I mean, it was years before I, you know, I started in on this and then went... you know, went on my own with it. And it is that those subtle energies, those subtle knocks, like you say, that make all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that since you followed them, you'll be able to, you know, help your clients follow them. That's that, like, circular story that we tell, you know, that that when we listen, then we're able to open up those opportunities for other people to listen more deeply to their own story. So that's so wonderful. Well, you kind of went through very, very quickly all of the things that you do, and we've got an hour here. So I've got, like, time to break it down and hear each piece of your story. So let's shift gears a little bit. And you started out your journey doing hypnotherapy work. And so I want to know a little bit more about how you work with that modality and how it plays into your vision of, you know, what it is you're called to do, Beth.
Well, with hypnotherapy, and, you know, and I know that's a scary word, or hypnosis is sometimes a scary word for people. And what I tell people is they are always in a different level of trance all the time. And an example of that is, you know, driving across town and not realizing, you know, really how you got there. In other words, not remembering the details about the trip. But you arrived safely and all was well. Or you're working on a problem and all of a sudden a flash of an idea comes to you when you're in the shower, when you've let it go. So those are different states and different forms of hypnosis. So we are in a different level of trance all the time. The thing with a formal hypnosis is that often we're able to remember things that we have consciously forgotten. And those things can be something, a vow that we might have made to ourselves that we hadn't realized that we had done that is causing a problem now, because you can't break through a barrier because you know, somewhere in your past you decided to that you wouldn't do that ever again. you know, those kinds of things. There's a lot of that, and a lot of what goes on with the hypnosis, of course, is the language pattern and how you're using your words and what those words mean and the variety of meanings that those words could have, which, you know, led me to the neuro-linguistic programming piece. So it's all about how you are filtering your world and what you do and how that might work for you. And we often go into, you know, like fads or things like that, or kind of like a mass hypnosis where everybody likes the same thing, or something becomes really popular, or that's another example of that. So we are affected by our world in ways that we are not conscious of. So one of the things that hypnosis does is it allows you to become more aware and conscious.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense, sure. And then the NLP, that is kind of how you use language and what your language is patterned like. Tell me more about that.
Well, that is one way. That is one way to use NLP. NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. So it's certainly with the words and that kind of thing. And what it does is we often use our patterns and our language in such a way that it either opens us to possibility or it limits us. Mm-hmm. So, again, as you have an awareness about that, about what you're saying, what those words really mean, and what you are doing with that, you may want to make a different choice, and awareness is really the first step. But if you, you know, are always saying, like, I'll never fill in the blank, you know, I'll never get that job, or I won't have a friend, or, you know, and then you keep on telling your subconscious mind that that's what you want. And it may be absolutely the opposite of what you're trying to do. When, you know, if you really want to, you know, cultivate new friendships, that kind of thing. So you have to start to move your thought patterns and your energies in a way that allows that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I think, too, sometimes, I don't know if you've come across this yourself, but with that all or nothing thinking that you're talking about, you know, I think the all thinking can be problematic too, because it doesn't allow for us to show up on our journey and process it the way we need to, and then we can be so hard on ourselves when we don't manifest something entirely immediately, you know. So I think that either the all thinking or the nothing thinking can both be, you know, can both kind of get us in a dither, in a pickle, you know.
Yes, in our society, we're supposed to know. You know, we're supposed to already know things, which is, you know, once you, in the studies show that once you think you know something, you forget, you quit your learning. So it's always nice to reopen that up. And one of the ways is, what else is possible? So say that you're in a situation and you're going like, I just don't see any way out of this. And for some people, that would be the end, and they would be boxed in by that. But there's the other possibility of saying, you know what, I don't get it, and I don't see a way out of this right now or a different solution, but I just wonder what else is possible. I really do. What else is possible? And how could it get better than this? And this kind of thinking opens things back up. Being in the question is so important. It is just vital. And so any time that you feel or anyone feels locked into a situation, think about questions you could ask that would give you more viewpoints, more possibilities, a different way of looking at it, and allow yourself to open up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that aspect of curiosity that you're talking about is just so important, because it can define, you know, especially when we feel it connected with the body, when we feel excited, because when we're children, little children, we feel excited by adventure and impassioned and all these sorts of things, and then we learn slowly that, you know, that we only are allowed to have that experience if we, you know, get through these different bars or through these different, you know, if we're successful in certain ways. And so we tend to connect that need to be successful with kind of with arriving in a way that really does us a disservice sometimes. And I think that curiosity piece, that, you know, could something else be, like you're saying, is just so vitally important for us to open up to other possibilities and options.
Yeah, and you mentioned something that I think is also critical, is kind of going with that childlike wonder, that innocent perception, so that you, you know, instead of looking at it and forming it and say, you know, that's a lamp, you might go and say, oh, I wonder what else here, you know, I wonder if that part on the top that, you know, I'm now calling a lampshade because I've been programmed to call that, I wonder if that could be something else, if that has another purpose, if it could move, you know. And that's kind of a silly example, but it is really important as we learn not to be so quick with our labels.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you're saying about the importance of how we language things and how we empower language. It's just, I think that's a piece a lot of people forget, you know, they don't focus on when they're doing this kind of work, is that if they have language that drags them down or keeps them boxed in, they can start to change their behavior, but that their language will pull them back. And that if they're in a place where they're really experiencing difficult emotions or experiences, that their language can move them forward, you know, as well. So I really, really appreciate your awareness and your work around that. I think that's just so vital and sometimes gets overlooked. And it's easy, it's simple, you know.
And it is the simple, easy things that we often overlook, isn't it?
Exactly. Totally. That's awesome. So I want to ask you about these bars. I've been reading about them. Are they anything like the Solfeggio scale and what are they called? The tuning bars, or are they different than that? Because you described them, it seems different than that. And so I'm just really curious about them. Tell me more about how they work.
Okay, there's a couple things. The bars are a kind of like reflexology for your head, sort of. So even though it is different than frequency vibrations of sound, so they're not the same. However, what the bars do, and this comes from Access Consciousness, and what was discovered is that there are certain places that if they're held on your head and the energy kind of flows back and forth, and it can dissipate a lot of, because each point has a like money or control has a, what do I want to say, it's something that is particular to it. And so when you hold those particular bars, then everything that you don't need to hold on onto about that can dissipate and transform. And so if you have an issue with your body, you can hold those points, and that starts to, you know, and all of the things that you really don't believe anymore, but you still kind of, you know, have that there, that kind of thing can dissipate, so you start to have more ease in your life. And the bars are about all sorts of things. I mean, there's control, there's creativity, there's hopes and dreams, money, and those. There's 32 of them, so I'm not going to list them all right this second. But by gently touching a person's head, for somebody who's been trained on it, and this is, you know, it's just like going and getting the training. The training is a day to get this particular training for the bars. It's made and it's for people who want to help others and, you know, and their family, that kind of thing. So it's like once you find out where these points are and you learn how to touch them, then anybody can do it. So it's not like there's a lot of learning that you have to have before you can learn how to do this. But what happens is as you learn to hold these points, that a lot of stored energy that you had that has been locked up simply dissipates. One of the images that people have given is like it's like dumping the trash in your hard drive. You know, you keep throwing things in the trash and trash and trash and trash, and if you never dump it, you are using up space that could be used for something else. So what the bars do is kind of, you know, empty the trash off your hard drive.
And does it work like on a quantum level or like on a physical level, like Eastern medicine, something like acupuncture, acupressure? Tell me more about it.
It can work on the physical level. However, it is more likely, and from my viewpoint, from what I feel about it is that I think that it is working on a quantum level. I think it is using sacred geometry. Now, this is not anything that Access Consciousness teaches. This is my experience with it. Which is really different. There are certain angles that come in with it, and it's really amazing. Now, that being said, my boyfriend, the first time he ever had his bars run, there's a bar called Restructuring the Body, and when they got to that, his sinus cavities in his head realigned, so he never has had post-nasal drip ever again.
So
it can work on a physical level, but that's not necessarily where it goes. But I will say that there has been nobody that I've ever worked on that hasn't absolutely felt better and more relaxed after having their bars run. It's just like, it's just such a relief. If you could just notice what it would be like to get rid of a bunch of tension off of you.
Awesome. And can a client set their intention to have certain things happen before they have the experience of having the bars run? Or is that, how do you do that?
They can certainly set an intention, but the real deal with that is about receiving. So if you are willing to receive and just allow, it really works best that way. That's not to say that if you came to see me and said, you know, I really have this thing going on and I want to have my bars run, that I wouldn't work with that, do some clearing statements, that kind of thing, to help you do that, and then we would just run your bars. But and we would just, you know, allow that to see where it took you.
Very cool. Very cool. So if someone wanted to take this class or something like that, where do you take it? I mean, where did you take it?
Well, I offer the class. I teach the class.
I didn't get that from your website.
I do teach the class, and I'm teaching my next scheduled class. Now, I am willing to do one before this, but right now my next scheduled class is February 14th in Portsmouth, Ohio. So, you know, really, all it takes is, you know, somebody saying, hey, I want to do this.
Right.
You know,
right.
I have
awesome.
Taught a class
so
with
available.
A few of a couple people. So I'm, you know, I'm really open to that because I really think it's a powerful technique. I think it is fun. I love to teach it. I think it's really fun to teach. I love to see people empowered and to see that they can do this easily. When you walk out of the class, you will have received it twice. You will have given it twice. You have, you know, a good idea about where they are, so you are ready to go.
I think it's so wonderful, too, that you talk about the power of receiving. You know, so much of the metaphysical community often is about setting intention and how much we're able to manifest, and it's kind of a bigger, better, faster, more motif a lot of times. And I just really appreciate the fact that you're saying, you know, I can help you set intention around something, but then what happens is what happens, and that's where the energy is and where it needs to be. Like that letting go piece, I think it's so, so important and sometimes overlooked.
Yes, and in my belief is that when I am in a healing space or you come to me as a client, is that, you know, my job is to hold that healing space and a vibration that is high and loving. And so when you come to me, whatever is presenting, we will work on, we will do whatever, you know, we are inspired to do. And then but the healing is really yours. I mean, you know, I hold the space. I am a guide for you. But you have all the tools you need. So it's accessing the right thing for you to move you forward. And people tend to want to make giant leaps. And those are fun. And those are great. But oftentimes, if you don't know the process you use to get there, then you lose part of that. And then you get disappointed. So the nice thing about, you know, really doing it in a way so that you really have it, it's solid for you. It's not something anybody can ever take away from you because you know you did that for you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think that you're talking about, you know, that piece about being a guide and that the journey is the journey that the client takes is so, so important, because so many people go to see a practitioner to fix something, and I think sometimes when that happens, you know, there's this energy that's kind of mixed up and loaded around this desire to fix something, which we know, like on an intuitive level, that the more that we let go, the more that we connect with spirit, the more we let go of what our journey is supposed to be about, the more we can actually go on the journey that is there for us, you know, that curiosity piece and all that. So I really, really, that's wonderful that you focus on it that way. And I think so many people, too, like, you know, they get all, like you're saying, they get all excited about this idea of, oh, I'm going to fix everything and I'm going to make everything, you know, I'm going to make these huge, huge leaps. But, you know, that process is each person. So that's so wonderful.
Right. And it's not to say that isn't available at the right moment, the right time. But
yeah.
It isn't, you know, it's like we often set ourselves up, you know, and like, I'm going to go here. And the other thing is, we give our power away because we think that, you know, that person's going to fix me and they don't understand that, you know, that I'm fixing me. And just so much of it. And I think that good intentions all around. However, I think that we're just now coming into a new energy that really, really supports us in being in our hearts and having our minds and our thinking process serve our heart and our inner wisdom and what's really true for us.
Yeah, I really feel it for sure. Just the new year, just since the new year, just how, I mean, everybody's talking about how things will be speeding up and stuff. And, you know, I mean, you can get kind of pull a rabbit out of a hat about this stuff, kind of like really magically based, as opposed to know it's energy and it works on a quantum level. And the more that you, you know, are pure in the intention that you set, the more that you're going to vibrate with that energy, you know. And so I've really noticed like this huge speeding up. I mean, it's been palpable, and this huge focus on this heart-centeredness, you know, this idea I've been hearing in so many quarters, you know, that we're here to do the work of working with each other's souls and each other's spirits, and this whole, you know, corporate kind of, you know, ego-based languaging and things is just, it's so far from my ears at this point. And it's really nice because I'm hearing it in quarters where I haven't heard it before. So I'm always kind of by nature a bit of a skeptic when it comes to some of this stuff till I see it for myself, you know. And it's been so nice to see it.
Yes. It's like, oh, well, you know, and some of us have been working on this for a long, long time, and it's like, finally, oh, cool. And, you know, and people get a little scared about some of the things that they see that's happening, and my take on that is like, yahoo, it's out in the open. It's no longer hidden, because I believe that that's really where we're going. It's like, you know, we're going to be so intuitive and so in our heart centers that, you know, it's not going to do any good to lie because everybody's going to know it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you might as well be true.
Yeah, absolutely. I even wrote in my tags for the show, what was it, intuitive, you said you're an intuitive, what did you say now? You had a little catchphrase there. Intuitive triage, it wasn't triage, but it was like the observer piece, the kind of third chakra observing piece along with the intuitive piece. And I can't remember how you phrased it. Maybe I can find it on your website. But I wanted to ask you about that because I found it such an intriguing thing to way to describe yourself. Where was it here? I know that I put it in the tags in a certain place. Intuitive. Oh, where was it? I don't know if it. I put it in the hashtags because I was like, that's really cool. But
I wish I could, help you out at the top of my brain.
You were like an intuitive observer, and you talked about tailoring the sessions to each person. But I just appreciated it because I think sometimes people can go so far into the feeling place that they don't use their wonderful observing abilities to be able to assess what's going on, and they can go so far in the opposite direction and be so in their head and so calculating and so focused on that observing place that they miss the heart. And I loved the fact that whatever it was you said so aptly combined the two.
I do try to strive to do that.
Absolutely. Very cool. Well, what else do you want to share about the work you do and about what it's like to work with you?
There's another piece. There's some sound stuff that I do, and that has a couple different forms that shows up in. One is a computer program that's called Voice Stress Assessment. Uh-huh. And the way that works is that you actually just talk into a microphone and you talk about anything about yourself, and I get a voice map that looks very much like a pie chart.
Yeah.
And each one of those sections correlates to a emotional piece. So that if you are, particularly really stuck on something, and you just can't get through it, this helps move the energy in a way. So what happens is you speak, I see that you are in a certain place, with it, and then the equipment is able to use your body by a hand scan to figure out what would be the most appropriate frequency to give your body to start to vibrate that energy and loosen it up.
It's a very
leading edge kind of technology because it's using the hand scan is very much like a kinesiology kind of thing, but the voice, it takes so much to create your voice. So the voice is kind of a marker. You're 2 years old before you can speak clearly because it takes all of that physiology to develop in order for your voice to come out. And so it's a really good indicator. So using that indicator, we're able to start to see where you are stuck and what you might like to do and how to move it. And so the frequency is fed back to your body so that starts to move and changes and gets you into a different place. So that's one thing I do, and that's very cool. I don't do that with everybody, but I do that, particularly certain things that are really just – very difficult and are hard to move. And, you know, and that's how I use it, but it also could be used to where somebody has, like, the company that makes this, all their salespeople talk every week about meeting their sales goals. And, you know, so without any effort, that happens. So it's, you know, it can be used in that way too. It can, you know, be a very lighter touch with it and something like that. And I love it because, you know, sometimes when I'm going like, okay, I just need to move out of this, and it's just a quick way of doing that. So that's one of the kind of sound frequency things. And when you get that, it is a frequency, but you don't actually hear it. You hear music, but not a tone or something like that. It's fed to the body and not so much your ears.
Is it a little like hemi-sync, or is it different than that?
It's different than that, because with hemi-sync, now there is some piece of that, because there are glasses that I can, that have flashy lights that allow your brain to synchronize. So I do use that in conjunction with this, but you just hear music and the, you know, and the lights are just kind of a calming effect, but the real therapeutic value, or the, you know, is the resonance of the frequency going back into your cells of your body and just saying, how do you feel about this? You know, what do you want? Yeah. And it's more of that, again, that quantum physics, but it's done on a cellular level than a cognitive level. So that's yeah, it's different. And, I'm sorry?
That's awesome. That's really cool.
It's a really interesting way to do some things and to approach things.
Yeah, yeah. And when someone comes to see you, do they do, can they do that in conjunction with the bars? Or how does it work? Like, say, I mean, because I would think that as you start working with them, you get more of a sense of what they need as you go along. So, like, how does it play out?
Absolutely. Well, what I encourage people to do packages, just because it is easier to do. I have so many different kinds of things that I get inspired to do that, you know, or this. I mean, in one session, we may do a couple different things. But the voice stress assessment and the bars usually are separate from each other, because it takes just time element. More than anything. It's not like I couldn't do them together. It's just that would be more time. And I try to keep my appointments an hour and a half. So that's it. But if somebody said, you know, hey, I have all afternoon to play, and, you know, and let's do a couple of these things, then, you know, I would book them out for that. And that would be, yeah, that would be really fun and interesting. So that's, you know, one of the things I do. And I really do like to do, you know, with me, it's not like, I know that we can move things pretty dramatically and effectively, but I also know that by seeing each other over a time period, we can make those real solid changes I was talking about before.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely think that it's so important to, like, just kind of track someone and see over a period of time what's sticking and what isn't. So you can see, like, because when they leave, you know, they're all excited with the energy of whatever's happened, but then certain things will stick and certain things won't, you know. So it's so important to follow them over time. So absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and there's also, you know, as we shift and change, and some of the things that come up are not as comfortable as other things. And so working through those, and to allow those to surface and say, you know, oh my gosh, is there something wrong with me? Because, you know, I don't feel, you know, like skipping down the street today. No, not necessarily. You know, there may be something that comes up that you have to honor. And as you honor and you say, and but you don't have to go there to say, oh my God, my life is over. You know, there's some in between places here, but things do come up and you do have to honor them and, you know, and acknowledge them. And oftentimes that's all it takes to have it move on through. So I like seeing somebody also because I want that relationship. I want them to feel like they can touch in and say, this is happening, you know, is this good, you know, that kind of reassurance and that support. Because I really do want to support you in the changes that you are making.
Absolutely. I love too that you talk about the fact that the client is the one who's making the changes. You know, I think again with that whole rabbit pulled out of the hat thing, you know, there's so much emphasis sometimes on the idea that the practitioner is fixing the problem, and I think it's just so important to realize that no, the client comes to you for support. They come to you as a guide to take a journey with, but that they're doing the work, you know, and that
Absolutely.
They know what work needs done. So
yes, awesome. Yes, and they do, and they have everything that they need to do that, or they can easily access it through means that I might be able to help them with, because it might be that it's not consciously there, but they do have it, and it may need to be made aware. They need to be made aware of it, and that's fabulous, and that's fun.
Absolutely. It's such an honor to see people change, you know, and it's so inspiring.
Yes. It
and
is.
I'm sure you experience this that the clients who come to you are ones that, you know, have something for you as well, and so they help you to see different things and to move and shift different energies. And it's do you find that like a lot?
Oh,
of
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's fun and it's intriguing and it's interesting and sometimes it's really challenging and it's all of those things. And you know, the people that show up, you know, most of my clients are serious about wanting to do their work. I will say that. And but it is fun. I mean, we can have a good time doing it. And I like that. And but you're right, they teach me. They teach me a lot, and I'm, you know, I'm very honored to, you know, have them trust me to work with them, and, you know, and for what I get out of it also. Yes.
Awesome. So this True Self series, I'm back on your website here. Did you talk about that, or is that a different modality?
I have not talked about that yet. I'll talk about that a little bit. True Self is pretty much what we're talking about here. We talked about, you know, you want to make some changes, you want to be, you have an idea of who you want to be, and mostly what True Self is a 4-week course. I don't have any scheduled right now, but it's generally a 4-week course, and it takes you through different stages with some practical exercises that you can do to start to have awareness about, you know, first you have to have awareness in order to be able to move through something, to make a change. If you're not aware of it, it's really hard to make the change if you don't know a change needs to be made. And how, you know, things get influenced, how you are influenced, how you want to make choices, how you connect with people. There's a forgiveness piece. There is lots of ways to discover how you can tap into your own intuition and your own knowingness and your own beingness. And the whole goal is that you, it's a journey that you take, so you are know who you are and are truer to yourself and are not so influenced by the others around you so that you can be in your beingness in a better way, in a truer way.
Wonderful. I think that whole piece about, you know, that what the work that we're doing has to do with helping people to trust their own intuition and their own unique ways of doing things in the world. And I think that work is, it's so important, because then you have all these people running around who can't be duped, you know, who can't, you know, who don't lose power in the same way, who say, no, that's not right for me. You know, I know what's right for me. I've internalized it. So I think that's
right.
So wonderful.
Yes, and not only that, but once people are have that confidence and that assuredness mm-hmm. about them, mm-hmm. then, you know, they don't really have to fight for it. They don't have
yeah.
to, you know, justify themselves.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. So it starts that whole path of creating a more loving, caring world, because once you're, you know, once you know what you know about you and what suits
yeah.
you, then, you know, it's like, well, I didn't say that you had to do it that way. I'm just saying that I need to do it this way. And
exactly.
so that, you know, it creates a whole different environment.
Well, because face-to-face communication is more clear and more reliable as opposed to bumping up against people's defenses, you know?
Yes, yes. And as you allow things that you once were, you know, your boogeymans or your fears or whatever you want to call that, your shadows, as
yeah.
you start to shine the light on them, then
mm-hmm.
you find that they're not nearly as, you know, much of an ogre as you thought they were.
And actually, a lot of times those shadow pieces, I think, offer us gifts when we do that, you know, shadow work, and we start to integrate those unloved parts of ourselves. We figure out that there's a lot of, you know, power, potential there, positive things that because we've disowned it or haven't looked at it, have gotten darker or gained more of this power that isn't actualized kind of power, you know?
Yes, I do. And there's in my estimation, there's always a gift there. There's always
Absolutely.
A gift there.
Yeah. Some of the biggest gifts.
Yes, yes.
The stuff
yes.
we're the most afraid to do is where the pearl and the, you know, the pearl really is. So, yeah.
Right. Right. And, you know, and there's ways of, you know, of you don't necessarily have to dive in the deep end of the pool. You might want to
mm-hmm.
go wading first, you know.
Yeah, that's why you need a package, right? So you can start at the periphery of the pool and then move
yeah.
at your own rate.
Right.
So very
and, you know,
cool.
And there's something very, I think, loving and kind about honoring somebody's process and allowing them to move
yeah.
at a pace. Now, and that's not to say, though, you know, if I see somebody's dragging their feet and they're just, you know, not doing it because they're not doing it and it's time
yeah.
for them to do it, that I won't say, you know what? You know, it's time to jump a little further here.
Right.
And so there's a delicate balance for that, but I really
yeah.
like to think that I, you know, always bring kindness and love into it, and that's really where I want, because I, you know, I know how I want to be treated, and I'm,
uh-huh.
you know, I'm like many people out there that are listening to your program, I'm a very sensitive person.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
And so, you know, I get that, so let's do this in a way that honors that and still
yes.
moves you forward.
Yes, yes. And also, like, with that sensitivity, you know, those sensitive people are the ones who, you know, change things, you know, because they have that sensitivity internalized to know what needs done, you know. And sometimes if they rub up against something that's too coarse, they lose those parts of their spirit that are so unique, you know. So it's It behooves all of us to do this work, because then we end up bringing more sensitivity, more refinement into everything that we do.
Yes, I hadn't really thought about some of what you're saying, but I think that is true. The sensitivity of reclaim, and I guess that's part of the shadow work too, is reclaiming
mm-hmm.
the places that where we were so sensitive that it was hard for us, and we didn't get any support, so we
mm-hmm.
kind of shut that piece down, and now it's time to reawaken, and people are reawakening.
Oh,
I think.
It's so exciting to watch just daily. It's exciting to watch. And like
mm-hmm.
I said, I'm such a skeptic that I really have to see it out there, you know, in palpable, in you know, tangible kinds of ways. And I'm just
mm-hmm.
seeing it left and right.
It
really
is fun.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess is the point in the show. If you have more that you want to share, by all means, go ahead. Did you have more modalities?
I have one more thing that I want to mention.
Absolutely.
And I don't. Again, this doesn't happen all the time, and this is just special intuitions that I get, and special. That I would go here, but I also do some toning with my own voice, and that is a frequency and vibration kind of work and sound work, and that is unusual, and it is powerful, and it is also kind of a work where, you know, for me, I just have to say, okay, I got out of the way, and I did this, and I oftentimes don't know exactly what energies were moving, but it is definitely that sound vibration that is moving the energy, you know.
Channeling, yeah. Like you're not there in the room, it comes through you kind of.
Well, it does come through me, and I get inspired, and I do it, and the tones come out in different ways, and sometimes it even sounds like I may be weeping or something like that, and it's not me, it's the energy that is being held by the person in some way, and we're just moving it, we're changing it, we're transforming it. So that is another thing that I've been gifted with that I, you know, don't use all the time, but there are certain situations where I'll say, you know, this may be very strange for you, but I you know, it seems to, you know, I'm inspired to do this with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd like to work. And I have done just sessions that's all it is you know,
awesome.
it's a voice work with that person.
Very cool. And I guess I did too want to ask you about key empowerment and how that got started. I had meant to ask you earlier and forgot, but how did that come to be?
Well, key empowerment is a group of practitioners that are together who all have their individual practices and are just under one roof, basically. And I am in a different part of the city now, so I don't have my office particularly at Key now. But what it is a number of practitioners who are excellent and have a metaphysical bent to their practice, and there's a variety of practitioners up there, and there's also classes that get held because there's a nice meeting room. Occasionally I'll have a class up there now, and so that it is just a place where there's a number of practitioners there that do different things, different modalities, different work through that umbrella called Key Empowerment.
Awesome. Very cool. So I guess it's the time now for you to give information to folks about how to get a hold of you for all your wonderful services.
Okay. Well, I'm thrilled. My website, it's very easy. It is Beth Jordan, Jordan, .net or .com. I have both of them. And there you see, if you happen to go, you see the story of your autobiography in, you know, in five chapters. On the website, you can check out these different modalities that I've talked about. You can certainly reach me at 614-563-5456. That's 614-563-5456. And, you know, give me a call or text me, and I'll be glad to get back to you. If you're interested in learning the bars, let me know, and we can set something up. Maybe you and some friends would like to do that, and we can have a session where you all learn that, and then you'll be able to practice with one another. And there's also an Access Consciousness website, and the bars, and I'm listed there. But the easiest way is probably to call or text me or get on my website, BethJordan.net, and see what's there and what interests you and what your curiosity says would be fun for you to do. I do post the classes when I do, you know, where I'm going to do them and when I'm going to do them. Right now I don't have anything scheduled for True Self. I really am working on a book about that.
So hopefully I'll
have that. I don't know when that's all going to come together, but I am working on that. And I see private clients. I'm interested, and I don't have this really out there yet, but doing a small group work where a group of people would come together and maybe there's a certain intention that they have and helping them move through that get that. And that's something that's just like still in the incubating stage. I really would like to do those kinds of things. That's how you get a hold of me.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing the hour, your wisdom, your insight into these topics. And thanks so much for sharing all the work you do.
Thank you. And I think I forgot my email, so I'll just say that's Beth at BethJordan.net.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for being
on Jenny, this has been such a pleasure. I am so grateful, and it has been a delight talking with you. And I really appreciate you holding such a forum for people to understand there is such a variety out there and that intuition is just the way to go, and that, you know, they have it and that they can develop it, and it all comes together in a marvelous and wonderful way.
Oh, thanks for that. That touches me, and thanks so much for accepting the invitation, and I hope our paths cross again.
I'm sure they will. Let's make sure of it.
let's make that happen. That sounds good.
Yes, yes, yes. I think that's a lovely idea. So thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great evening, Beth. Take good care.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. If you are looking to be part of a women's group, I am working on getting a women's group together called Women at the Edge of the Woods, which will support each other. It'll be a psychodynamic, psychotherapeutic group for women in the CBUS area. If you're interested, please check out my website, Inner Voice Intuitive, and also check out my email. Send me an email. Just drop me an email at imaselkie@juno.com. Have a great evening, everyone. Whatever you do, go make magic, feel magic, create magic, inspire magic, see magic in each other. Take care, guys. Bye now.